Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The community is encouraged to help Piedmont Athens Regional kick off its centennial celebration at the Oconee Health Campus on July 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. Join us for free parking, food trucks, music, and activities for the kids.
After the kickoff celebration, join us at 9:30 p.m. for all the oohs and ahs of the Oconee 4th of July fireworks presented by Piedmont Athens Regional, Oconee County Parks and Recreation Department, Roll Off Systems, and the Oconee Enterprise.
Keep up with us on social media. Follow along on Twitter and Instagram at 960TheRef and on Facebook.com/960TheRef.
A little Hulk Hogan theme song?
Of course. Fourth of July week.
I like when Tyler takes over the DJ booth, man.
If you're not blowing up fireworks to this, you're not doing it right.
No, there's a couple staples of fireworks shows. We already played Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA, then the Hulk Hogan theme. Welcome back in. It's the second half kickoff on the morning show brought to you by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Dave is at the beach somewhere. But I'm Logan Booker. He's Tyler Head. We'll get you through the short week as we march our way right into the 4th of July weekend. And no show Thursday or Friday. But we will bring you some Hulk Hogan theme music leading up to. Joining us now, as he does every Monday, and we appreciate his time every single week, our buddy Mike Griffith of the AJC's DogNation.com. Mike, thanks for joining us. And what are some maybe of holiday or 4th of July traditions the Griffith family enjoys every year?
Oh, wow. Well, today it's going down to Lake Oconee for the Bruce Arians Golf Tournament.
There you
guys.
Go.
That's got to get to work in. You know, the dogs never rest, right? I mean, it's all about keeping the Georgia fans informed. And they had some fireworks here in Athens downtown last night. That was pretty cool. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back up and see family. I got some work I got to take care of. There's a lot of Georgia fans that still want to know about Georgia football and the Jacksonville rivalry.
That's exactly why we love you, Mike, because we know college football is a 365-day-a-week job covering, and no, you don't just get 4th of July week off. I know folks like Chip Towers may take the week off and go dabble doing humanitarian work, but you're a man of the people, Mike. And we appreciate all your work coming our way. We'll get to that Jacksonville in just a minute because you did have an interesting article I looked at talking about some of the numbers of Jacksonville. But one thing I wanted to ask you about before we go down that path is somebody that I've thought about a lot this offseason. And I don't want to say he's lost in the fold, but you wrote about Monty Rice coming back at linebacker. A lot of folks may even forget that he did not play in the SEC championship game or against Georgia Tech, I believe. I think he hurt his foot before the UMass game. That is a really big piece of this Georgia football defense that the Dogs certainly could have had last year. But going into his junior season, I expect some really big things from Monty Rice. What are some things you wrote about this week regarding Monty?
Yeah, well, obviously Kirby does too because, you know, Monty got selected to go to that leadership summit. And that tells you right there what a coach thinks of a player. And we saw Monty, as you mentioned, he was a game captain for UMass. Now, he got hurt in the warm-ups before that game, but, you know, the only other sophomore I can think of is, Jake Fromm, I guess, was a captain his sophomore season. But that says a lot about what Kirby thinks about Monty. So I believe Monty was leading the team in tackles when he started suffering those injuries. You know, he had that sprained knee.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I want to say it happened against Missouri maybe or the week of practice after that. He might have missed Vandy, or was it the Tennessee game he missed? And then he hurt the foot. So this is a guy, though, that Kirby obviously feels strongly about, or he wouldn't be sending him to these leadership summits.
Right. I think about that depth chart. You look at the Channing Tindalls and the Quay Walkers, some younger guys that are there. And as you've pointed out on this show many times, if you want a job in Athens, Georgia, whether it be doing like things that we do or playing football – for the University of Georgia, there's always going to be somebody there that wants your job just as bad as you do. But I think competition in this case is a very, very good thing. And I know that he's on this leadership team, but having some of the depth that Georgia's recruited at that middle linebacker position, it makes me feel like Monty Rice and among others are poised to have a very, you know, solid 2019 for a defense that could be quite special, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that linebacking core is really deep and really rich in talent. And I'll tell you another thing, when you got that many good linebackers, those guys play special teams too. And I just think Georgia's going to be better across the board, offensively and defensively and on special teams. I thought special teams last year, there were times when it really wasn't up to snuff when you look at what the standard that Kirby's tried to establish and some of the talent that he puts over there. And I didn't really think you got the returns, no pun intended, that Georgia should get when you look at the talent disparity they have over other teams in the league. So, yeah, I'd agree with you. I think those linebackers are talented, and I think part of the reason why maybe Kirby wants Monty as a leader, I think that tells you about Monty Rice off the field as well as on the field.
Speaking with Mike Griffith of the AJC's DogNation.com.
Somebody else you wrote about this week, Mike, is backup quarterback Stetson Bennett. And you have this article talking about DJ Shockley being comfortable with him as the backup quarterback. What does it mean for somebody like him and for the program itself to have a former player, a former star, bestow this kind of praise on the backup quarterback?
Yeah, that's mighty high praise. If you got DJ Shockley in your corner, I mean, that says a lot. And he said that on the WSB Game Day show. We've got a clip of that from the tweet they put out. I think it's good for Georgia. I think we saw that in the spring game. I mean, Stetson looked very comfortable running the offense, and really he was as effective as Jake Fromm was in the G-Day game. Now, that's a very small sampling, and I'm not going to suggest that he's the quarterback Jake is, because I don't believe that he is. But on that day, he looked really good. And I think it says a lot for Stetson. He's got some sneaky mobility. He's a little bit quicker than you might think. He can move the ball with his feet as well as moving the chains with his arms. So I think it's good for Georgia to have a guy like that. You don't want to think about the possibility of Jake going down, but we know in the SEC from week to week things happen.
Thinking about looking forward, as you said, you never know what's going to happen. But Stetson Bennett, being that it is his second time around Athens, and we've talked about this a brief in the past, where it's not a new system to him. I don't think of Stetson Bennett as a new player on this roster, even though he was not there last year. And God forbid, we've talked about that if something happens to Jake Fromm, that is, in my opinion, the absolute worst-case scenario for Georgia. I don't know what I would predict the season going forward. But because he's been here before and he's welcomed back and so loved by these teammates, does that put him a step ahead? Now, I don't know what Dwan Mathis' health situation is or who may even step up and transfer in, but is he cut and dry, head and shoulders, the number two man on this roster right now?
Oh, right now, for sure. I mean, Dwan's still going through rehab
right
from his surgery. So, yeah, for sure, going into the season. You know, Dwan brings a different element, though. You don't see many guys with his size and arm strength that can run like he can run. And that's just a whole other element. That's just a whole other weapon that Georgia could have at their disposal if Dwan were to get cleared for this year, which I don't think that decision's been made yet. I know Kirby's optimistic and so is the family, but we'll see how that turns out. But yeah, I mean, I think it's Stetson for sure. I mean, I don't know who else you would point to in the backfield.
So I'm going to bite. You wrote this week again about the Georgia-Florida thing. Now we're talking some financial aspects as well. Tim Tebow had said he was in town playing minor league baseball at Gwinnett last year. A lot of media got a chance to talk to him and get his opinions as he's, I guess, before we know it, going to transition back to that analyst role with the SEC Network. But he brings up one thing that perhaps we don't talk about enough, and that is the financial side with the city of Jacksonville. Just what are some things you wrote about this week in terms of not the recruiting aspect of the Georgia-Florida game and where it is, but the money side of things?
Well, listen, I'm going to preface this. I saw Florida-Tennessee rivalry. And I watched year after year as that Florida media group and the Florida Gators outsmarted Tennessee with their comments about Philip Fulmer and all his weight and how bad their program was with discipline. While all this other stuff was going down there in Florida, the Florida people were making jokes and turning Tennessee against each other. And Spurrier always got the last word. And it was like Lucy pulling the ball out from Charlie Brown. You know, Florida was just kind of always one step ahead and kind of outsmarting you, right? You look at these numbers, guys. Jacksonville takes in $35 million a year from this game. $35 million a year. And Georgia gets paid, the University of Georgia gets $1.6 million a year to play there. I mean, hello?
Right. Is this something where $35 million, that's obviously no joke, and $1.6 seems low. If the threat becomes very real, and it certainly appears that it is becoming very real that Florida and Georgia may leave the Jacksonville area, could Jacksonville up the ante and say, listen, it is now worth it for us to offer gargantuanly more than we've been to try to keep you here? Is that something that could play out?
I don't think it's a threat. I think your head coach is telling you he's at a disadvantage. I mean, Kirby Smart's, I mean, I don't know what you want Kirby to do. You want to put up posters? I mean, and the thing is, he's not out there bringing it up. People are asking him, and he's going, yeah, this is kind of a big deal. We're at a disadvantage. Yeah. Yeah, it hurts to give up your best recruiting weekend. Well, I mean, what do you want Kirby to say? I mean, you hired him to win championships, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't get it. And, you know, in the Florida fan, come on, keep drinking and partying, Georgia. Keep having a good time. They're going to keep slapping you on the back, and they got the hand in your damn wallet. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous, guys. And I'm not saying take the game out of Jacksonville. I'm saying when it's Georgia's turn to have it in Athens, let Athens get $35 million. How about that? How's this for an idea? It's just an idea.
It is
have
a lot of money.
Have the game in Athens and pay your teachers some more money and pay your policemen more money and make your roads a little bit better, make your schools a little better. Finish these greenways that are all broke up all over town. Put some lights in those streetlights that are out in some parts of the city because your civic structure doesn't have $35 million every year. How about that? How about if the University of Georgia, instead of taking $1.6 million a year, said, you know what, instead of us making $1.6 million, let's do this. Let's make our football coach happy, and let's give this city of Athens, which we recruit to, by the way. I saw Tom Crean driving kids through the downtown on a golf cart.
Nice.
They love recruiting to the city. They love showing them how great the downtown. How about instead of pocketing $1.6 million, we give our city $35 million to work with every other year, and we make our head coach happy, and we give our football team its best chance to win a championship? I'm just saying. Or you can just keep on partying with the Gators and let one of them buy you a beer in Jacksonville. How about that?
So obviously, this is a story that just keeps on giving week in and week out. And you mentioned in your article that the current contract for playing in Jacksonville ends in 2021. When are we going to know the fate of this rivalry and where that 2022 game is going to be played? Do you have a specific year and month when you think we're finally going to know?
I don't. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, because here's the thing. You know, if somebody's, you know, people like to go there. I get it. Here's my question. Whose decision is it? Is it the football coach's decision? Is it the AD's decision? Is it the president's decision? And look, guys, I get it. It's, you call it tradition. But is tradition worth $35 million? Every other year and a recruiting disadvantage? I don't know the value of a national championship. I don't know the value of, you know the tradition. But who makes it? Is there a booster? I want to hear who's for it. Other than tradition, I need a better reason. I just want to hear the logic for it. Because when this tradition started 86 years ago, it was probably a pretty good idea. And it was probably a lot of fun. And I get it. But a lot of things have changed in 86 years, like recruiting and the finances of this deal, chiefly.
I'm curious because the numbers are very intriguing. Have you done the – I don't know the research. I don't know how much Athens profits on a typical game weekend. Does Jacksonville – what kind of factors go into Jacksonville making $35 million? And is that what Athens can essentially expect?
Yeah, well, I don't have the breakdown in front of me, but mm-hmm. In the story, you can click a link and see where all the money's coming from in Jacksonville. You can see the money they make off their hotel rooms, their businesses, their restaurants. They estimate that game brings 140,000 people to Jacksonville every year. 140,000. Now, granted, if the game was in Athens, there'd be some neighboring communities that would benefit as well.
Right.
It wouldn't just be Athens. It would be the whole metropolitan area. But yet and still, even if it benefits Athens $25 million, I still look at it and shake my head and say, how has this not been disclosed, and how did Georgia not realize? And here's what I hear back. People tell me, well, Mike, there's some really rich boosters that like this game. Well, then, are they going to donate the money to Athens that Athens is losing by not having this game? Here's the other thing I think about moving forward. And again, this is Kirby Smart. You know, he's the one that's really kind of brought this to light. I mean, people say, I haven't talked about it since last season. Hey, last season it came up and somebody asked me what I thought. I said, I didn't think it was that big of a deal to play down there, and I didn't get it. Now Kirby Smart's been on Feinbaum more than once talking about it. He talked about it on his radio show. So, I mean, the head coach is the one that's talking about it. But I just don't understand, you know, I don't understand why you'd want to put your team in your hometown in that position. But that's just, again, one opinion. But people tell me there's some major boosters that like going down there and having a good time. And all I'm saying is this. How about if Georgia says, you know what, when it's our year to have it, 2022, we want it in Athens. And you know what, Florida? You can do whatever you want with it when it's your home game.
Up until
this, would that be a bad thing?
No, yeah, it's intriguing to see what would happen there. Up until this point, it's all been kind of speculation and a lot of facts and pros and cons weighed out everywhere. But for the first time last week, our buddy Brandon Adams released his interview with Greg McGarrity, where he solidified and said, yes, Kirby Smart does not want the game in Jacksonville. It's kind of the first time I think any of us have heard the higher ups at Georgia confirm what we all sort of believed anyway and thought to be truth. But because that came out publicly, and kudos to Brandon Adams for getting that out of McGarrity, is that sort of the first step that maybe the dominoes are in fact falling, where Georgia fans can maybe expect in the short term this game will be moved? And I guess the pipe dream at this point of it staying in Jacksonville may not be the reality. It might actually be a work in motion now.
Well, I guess I want to hear the pros, Logan. I mean, other than tradition, what are the pros? What can you do in other than, okay, you've got a beach there, but I look at downtown Athens, and I'd much rather spend a weekend in downtown Athens than looking for cover in Jacksonville. I mean, is Jacksonville a better city to go out and eat and drink than Athens? Is it a safer city? Am I missing something here?
No, okay, so I'm sort of on the fence on this thing anyway. I don't have a definitive opinion these days on where I want it to be. I do like the tradition. Okay, I know that's a word that a lot of people don't like in this conversation, but I think the guys that are making the argument where it should be, I don't know many people that go to downtown Jacksonville anymore. It's more about the islands, the Amelias, the Jekylls, the St. Simons, those places. So I think that's what people will miss way more than the landing being broken down in Jacksonville, so to speak. So I don't know. I don't know. When people talk about the pros, I don't hear much conversation at all about the city of Jacksonville, to be honest with you. It's more about the islands.
Okay. Well, do they not let people from Georgia go there if it's not a football weekend? You got to play football there to go there?
Yeah, it's an argument I hear from a lot of people.
I mean, from what I understand, some people go down there and watch a game on TV anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm pro setting up a tailgate on the beach myself.
I guess my point is I don't understand the value of it. And again, and I've only been to one, and maybe I haven't had enough drinks and heard enough of those Florida Gators jokes to understand it. But to me, it looks like Florida's pulled the wool over Georgia's eyes and sold him on this one. That's what it looks like to me. And I've seen Florida do that with Tennessee. I saw how Spurrier always used to get the last word. And you know what? You just know those guys are laughing because they say it's not a recruiting weekend, right? But who's to say those recruits don't go to Gainesville the next day? It's only 70 miles from there. So who really loses out? I mean, to me, it just looks like one of those deals where, you know, in Spurrier, you just see that wry grin on his face, you know? And he even said, boy, it'd be like if we played up in Atlanta every year. And you think to yourself, there is no way Florida would play in Atlanta every year. Now, what argument would you make? Well, I would make the argument that that's the best stadium in the country. I would make the argument that Atlanta is a destination city. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. I love Atlanta. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do in Atlanta. But I don't think Florida would play there every year, guys. I don't think they'd agree with that. I don't think there's any tradition. And here's the only thing I can draw from when people ask me about it is I was covering Alabama when the Alabama-Auburn game got moved from Birmingham. I don't think it's any less of a rivalry. I just don't. I mean, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe other people on the outside don't think it's as big a rivalry because it's not played in Birmingham anymore. But the biggest thing that I saw was how excited Auburn fans were that they finally got to play the game in their stadium. And I kind of feel like when you talk about tradition, and I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter at MikeGriffith32. But
yeah, we follow you on Twitter.
I go for walks all the time, and, man, I always take a picture of Sanford Stadium. I don't know what it is, but I got a great shot the other day of the sun shining in the end zone and that red. Man, that's tradition. That's a Saturday. That's a tradition. I don't know how you get enough of that every Saturday in Athens, guys. I wouldn't want to give up any games there.
So, short-term answer, 2022, that game will be here before we know it. In your opinion, Mike, after you've done a lot of the research, a lot of folks haven't done, where do you think that game will be played in 2022? Is it going to be Athens or is it still going to be in Jacksonville?
I think it depends on how much juice Kirby has. I think if Georgia has some great seasons and wins another SEC championship and gets back in the college football playoff and Kirby's got enough influence, then I think that the boosters will let him have his way. But if he doesn't win enough, then I think the however many people with money that are making this decision are going to say, no, we're going to keep it there. So I think it depends on how much power Kirby has, and I think that will depend on how successful he is these next couple of years.
As mentioned, as we all know, 4th of July week, 2 weeks from today, Mike, it feels good saying that. You're going to be out at Hoover, Alabama, I assume, for SEC Media Days with the other guys at DogNation.com. What are we kind of looking forward to that week? Now that we're within a window, we can start talking about it. And also, do you consider that? A lot of people have different answers for this. When is the unofficial, official beginning of the next season for you? Is it SEC Media Days?
Guys, Logan, you said it. The season never ends.
Right.
Man. It's Georgia. This is a championship program. Now, some places, when I covered Michigan State, then the Big Ten Media Days, that was the start of the season. I covered Georgia, though. And Georgia is a place that revolves around college football. Athens, Georgia revolves around college football. These merchants, these restaurants, these people make their livelihoods off of college football. It doesn't stop for them. And so I live downtown, and so that's the lifestyle that I'm in, and it doesn't stop. The people that I see and talk to every day in Athens, Georgia, they make their living off of football. And the players that I talk to and the coaches that I talk to, they come to Georgia to win championships, so they don't stop training year-round. So for me, it's just another day of football, like you said. It's 3-6, and it's not like that everywhere. It's not for everyone. I get it. There's some people that probably think I'm overboard with this, and I get it. It's not for everybody. For some people, it's a hobby, and maybe the only game they go to every year is Jacksonville. It's just, but guys, this is my livelihood. This is my passion. I moved away from family and friends to jump on this Georgia train and to cover Kirby Smart, who I think is one of the top two or three coaches in the country. So maybe that's a bit much, or maybe that sounds overboard, but that's what I'm about, guys. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it, to be around more football people, be able to ask more questions. But I'm driving down, like I said, I'm driving down to Lake Oconee today to talk to Bruce Arians and Dan Mullen and Steve Spurrier and ask football questions. I'm not thinking about hot dogs or fireworks or barbecue, man. I got football on my mind, and you can read about it on Dog Nation.
And we certainly live with Georgia football 365 days a year here in Athens, but hitting SEC Media Days is just kind of that extra reminder that we're almost there. It's right around the corner, though, right?
It's here now. I mean, you know, like I said, Monty Rice was at a leadership summit this weekend, and a couple weeks ago there was a leadership group from Georgia, a lot of players that went down to Pensacola to meet with the brain coach, you know, a guy that used to work at Georgia the year they went to the national championship, and now he's kind of a mental trainer. I guess he's worked at Alabama too, so I see these guys on Instagram and see their workout videos. So, yeah, for the fans, I suppose it's a reminder. But for me, like I said, it's you know, it's just more opportunities to talk to more people. You know, last year, one of the things that came out in that was, I think his name was C.C. Jefferson. Lanny, you may remember this. But he said that last year's, he said that the 42-7 win was a lot closer than.
I forgot about that. Because yes, I do.
He also said he wished he could play between the hedges. You know, that's the one thing we guys talk about Jacksonville that we don't talk about is what do the players want. And it was interesting to me to talk to Mecole Hardman about that. And Mecole wanted to play it, and DeAndre Baker. And you know, Kirby talks about playing in different stadiums. And I'll just say this. When I covered, you know, Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee, I liked going to the Swamp. I thought it was fun. I thought, you know, it was intense. It was loud. It was hostile. But at the same time, I like coming to Sanford Stadium. So, you know, we don't hear the players what they want. That'd be interesting. And another thing I don't hear, I hear Spurrier and Tebow talking about wanting to keep it in Jacksonville. I don't know if you guys heard any Georgia, famous Georgia football players saying it should stay there.
It's an intriguing point. Intriguing. Mike, great stuff as always. We appreciate you, one, for joining us and also for not taking any days off. I admire having somebody on the UGA beat that will always pump us up with good information. Now, can we look for something on DogNation.com later today from the golf tournament? Or what do you
want? Yeah, for sure.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
we will.
Listen, hey, no, I'm here because I want to be, man.
I love it.
Like I said, it's work, but you know what? I choose this. I choose Athens. I choose Cover Georgia. This is, you know, I Yeah, don't thank me. I thank you. I'm glad I've got this opportunity. No,
I say the same thing. I tell people that I don't work. I just talk about sports on the radio, and the station pays my bills in return. It's one of a nice arrangement we have here. So, hey, best of luck down at Lake Oconee. It's going to be hot, so be sure and pack a cooler full of ice water or something down there. And we look forward to whatever you put together. As always, good stuff. And we'll get you next week. No days off for Mike Griffith.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Happy 4th to you, buddy. Mike Griffith, AJC's DogNation.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.